The first reading for the Ascension of our Lord is from Acts chapter 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." When he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. O Lord, have mercy on us."
Thanks be to God.
The Epistle from Ephesians chapter 1. "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his glory, or of his power, toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet, and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. O Lord, have mercy on us."
Thanks be to God.
The reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their eyes to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him, and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple blessing God. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Unite my heart to fear your name, that I may walk in your truth.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whose ascension we celebrate this day. Amen. Reading for this evening's meditation is taken from our Gospel according to St. Luke. Today, Ascension Day, we celebrate a major event in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only is he risen from the dead, but today we commemorate his ascension to the right hand of the Father. It's a day so important it gets a line in the Creed. Our Gospel for this evening is from Luke's Gospel, where Luke telescopes 40 days into these 10 short verses. We go from the evening of the resurrection, where he opens the minds of his disciples, all the way to the ascension itself. I've mentioned in the past how nice it would have been to be part of Jesus' intense short-term seminary class, to have all those connections between the Old Testament and Jesus' miracles and teachings and death and resurrection made explicit directly from the lips of the Lord. John's Gospel indicates for us that Jesus wasn't physically with them during that whole 40-day period. He would show up here and there for brief times to teach things, and then go away again. Yet, as Jesus says, everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. And the final thing to be fulfilled before his return in glory to judge is the ascension on high. Prophesied in the Psalms in specific, Psalms 47 and 110. The Messiah must be received and seated at the right hand of the Father, and reign from there until the times are complete, when he shall come to judge the living and the dead. And now that our Lord and Savior has ascended on high, as we heard in our first reading from Acts this evening, we, as the church, have a job to do. Combining together parts of Acts 1 and Luke 24, both written by Luke, we can put together the picture of what Jesus calls his church to do in this in-between time. Jesus says in Luke 24, "Repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." And in Acts 1 he says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." So, this Ascension Day, we remember not only our Lord's glorious ascension, and all that means and implies for us as his people, but also the marching orders, as it were, that he's given his church. For our job as a church is not so much transforming culture, though that may be a byproduct of our work. Western culture and society owes much to the Christian heritage it so often these days seeks to cast aside. Nor is it to make people feel warm and fuzzy, though that too may result. Our feelings will come and go. After all, but the Word of God stands forever. Our job is not to be cool or culturally relevant. What is cool or culturally relevant shifts with the tides of time. Jesus didn't promise the church prosperity and happiness and an easy time, but the way of the cross. The call of the church is that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit working through the Word from Jerusalem on out to the ends of the earth. I like to tell the vicars that as pastors we have exactly one tool in our tool belt when it comes down to it, the Word of God. Despite all the books and resources I may have in my personal library, when it all comes down to it, everything that a pastor is and does depends on the Word of God properly taught and followed. As Lutherans, we like to speak of the distinction between law and gospel, which is indeed a helpful distinction to make, and it is this distinction that Jesus says is the call of the church to proclaim. Repentance, that is, preaching the law to show our sins and the need to change our ways. Forgiveness of sins, preaching the gospel to bring consolation and hope to hurting souls and to restore the relationship with God that our sins have broken. It's both that simple and that difficult. Because it's very easy to take our eyes off the prize in major and minors, to turn our Christian faith to be mainly about morals or feelings or culture or what we do for God, rather than about Christ and what he has done for us. In catechism classes, one of the topics that keeps popping up over and over again is forgiveness of sins, precisely because it's easy to wander off into the theological weeds and do the equivalent of trying to determine how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. We dig into the scriptures and analyze and come to understand all sorts of things about God and his word, not just to cram our heads with knowledge, but to understand what it means that Christ has called us to be his own and to live under him in his kingdom in righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, which comes to us through repentance and the forgiveness of sins. Which brings us back to tonight. Why is the ascension itself so important? Because of what it teaches us about repentance and the forgiveness of sins. When Christ our Lord ascends into heaven, it conclusively demonstrates who he truly is. He is the Son of God. And why did the Son of God have to enter into creation and take on flesh? Because of the depth of sin. If it were possible for any of us to live a sufficiently holy and righteous life by our own efforts in order to earn God's favor and live forever in his eternal kingdom, Jesus would never have needed to come in the first place. But the reality is that sin's infection runs deep in every human heart born of the flesh. Only Jesus, true God as well as true man, has been born without sin. And this fact of our sinfulness, this fact that Jesus had to come to be one of us, dwell among us, suffer for us, and die for us, should indeed drive us to daily repentance. For your sins and mine were why Jesus came. We should consider this well, not shrug off our sins or treat them as little importance or worth, not to admit to ignore them or deny that they matter. For his life was the cost of our being called as his people. His death was the price for our sins. Yet this is also the great gospel news. His death is the price for our sins. He willingly came to be one of us. He did the Father's bidding, not begrudgingly, but joyfully, for us and for our salvation. His whole goal was not just to die for your sins and mine, but also to rise from the dead to put an end to the powers of sin, death, and the devil. They're still around, still doing their worst. But because of what Jesus has done, they no longer hold sway over all who are in him. Though in this life we are not perfect, yet we are forgiven. Though in this life we still struggle and have troubles, we know of a brighter future. For we have a Lord who has risen from the dead and who has ascended to the right hand of the Father. In him we have all we need for eternal life, here and now, and also hereafter. For he is indeed ascended. Ascension Day is a coronation day celebration. Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. He has overcome every enemy and now sits and rules at the Father's right hand. Until that day he shall come and put a final end to this present world and bring all who belong to him into his new heavens and new earth to live and reign with him, body and soul, forever and ever. And from his place on high at the right hand of the Father, he now also gives us his many gifts. He gives us eternal life, salvation, forgiveness, hope, peace, joy, the Holy Spirit who dwells within us as we await our Lord's great and final coming. Jesus leaves the disciples as he is blessing them, and he will return bearing blessing as well. When he returns, every eye will see and every ear will hear. It will be no secret, no mere rumor of returning. Everyone will know, and every knee will bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. For now, we wait. But we wait with expectant joy. He is our King. He reigns over us with his grace and mercy, calling you and me to repent and receive his forgiveness, that we might be his own and live under him in his kingdom, now and always. A blessed Ascension Day to you all, in the name of Jesus. Amen.